Listen to me. Yet it's used about four times, but it's not used in reference to God. Because the Jews know that Jehovah, Lord, our God, He is God. They knew that God is our creator. They knew that God created everything. So when it came to God, they had no doubt. I know some of you theologians are challenging that. But challenge it. In the whole Old Testament, the Jews never doubted God. Because when you doubt God, they said, I don't believe God. The Jews believed God, but they never doubted God. So the thought of doubt never entered into the Hebrew Jewish mind. The thought of doubt is only in the Western Greek mind. God, when it comes to God, the Jews said, we don't doubt who He is. We don't doubt. This is what doubt says, is God did not create the heavens and earth. Right? Doubt says God did not do this and do that. Doubt says God didn't create me. How do you know God created the heavens and earth? Amen. Come on, how do you know God created the heavens and earth? How do you know God created you? Amen. Well, if you know God created the heavens and earth, and you know God created you, get rid of doubt. Because doubt, if Jesus said, why did you doubt? Did Jesus say, why did you doubt? Amen. He wouldn't say doubt. Right? Because Jesus spoke what? Aramaic or Hebrew. So they didn't have doubt. Then you go figure that out. Right? Amen. You go figure that out. Jesus didn't say, why did you doubt? Right? He was dealing with their faith. But doubt is not the word Jesus used. Doubt is the word that the translators use to interpret it in Greek. Amen. So what did Jesus say? You ought to do some work because you got to study and understand. You got to study. They show yourself approved not to God. Jesus did not say doubt. Because all of the Jews and Hebrews knew that when it came to God, doubt challenged His authority and power. Doubt says He was not the creator of the earth. It's amazing how even in church we have allowed doubt to play such a great part of our lives when we should doubt. God said He can do anything. He said all power. Right? God has what kind of power?
All power.
If He has all power, He said, for the sake of time, I'm going to just skip now. Let's go to verse 22. And we know the verse preceding this, Jesus feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That was 5,000 men. When you really assist with women and children, you know, there were 15,000 at least that were there. At least 15,000 were there. So Jesus fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then at the end, He told the disciples to gather up all the remains. And they grabbed 12 baskets full. Right? Because He said, let nothing be lost. In other words, what the Lord said, you 12 gave, you 12 got something left over. Now, that's just under the table. Verse 22, y'all listen?
Amen.
You know what? When you study God's word, you got to let me lie. Amen. Too many of us say a word don't let it live in our lives. Amen. Paul said His word is quick and
powerful.
That means His word is a lie. Right. A lot of us, we make God's word too dead. Let God's word be alive in your life. When it's alive in your life, it will change your situation. Father, verse 22 says, and
straightway,
Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him onto the other side while He He was there alone. But the ship lay down in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the sea. That's what kind of God is. Y'all are in the boat. He said, I want to defy every law of nature and points. He said, I want to come walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked out of the water and called to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this week of consecration. Lord, we thank you for the time to afflict our flesh. Lord, we thank you that our flesh and our appetite is one of the things we can control. So we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, for giving us a mind to fast. Lord, we thank you for the prayers, for we realize that your ears are for them to open up to their prayers of the righteous. And Lord, we ask you on today to speak the word. Lord, speak to our minds, speak to our spirits. Lord, stir up. Lord, we ask you to search every heart. Lord, search every mind. Oh God, then we ask you to send the word of healing. We ask you to send the word of deliverance. Lord, we ask you to send the word of set free. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus, somebody came in this morning troubled.
Yes.
Lord, we ask you to heal the troubled mind. Lord, somebody came in this morning with doubt. Lord, we ask you to heal doubt. And Lord, we just ask you to send a word to heal, send a word to deliver, and send a word to set free. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. And this 14th chapter is something that we are all pretty familiar with. And I'll just give you the title of our message before we get started. And our message is, Step Out of
the Boat.
Amen.
Step Out of the Boat.
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes we get security in things that are insecure. Sometimes we get security in things that are not secure. So we're going to deal with a step out of the boat. And then if we were to have a subtitle, it would be step back in the boat. All right? You know what I mean? That sounds like an oxymoron. Oh, you step out of something and step back in it. Well, that's exactly what Peter did. He stepped out of it when it was fear. But he stepped back in when he got to Jesus. Right? So sometimes God will send you in something and he knows he's in charge and in control. So he'll send you somewhere. But then when you, even though you are the apostles, you are the authority, even though you're doing what I said to, when you get fear, God said, now come out of that. Then when you get to him and he get back with you, he said, now let's get back. Let's get back in it. So you have to step out and then step back in. Alright, so I gave y'all most of the message already. But let's go through this, because as I was studying it, I don't know if it was the other guests or something talking about. Jewish ship, and go before him unto the other side. While he sent the multitude away. Alright? Now, let's go to verse 23. I probably come back. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. So if you read John's account, he said, Jesus said he realized that when they saw the miracle with the fish and the loaves, he said they were going to take and forcibly make him king. So he wasn't, his time was not yet come. So he sent the disciples away, then he sent the multitude away, then he went apart in a mountain by himself to pray. Now Jesus is in an all-night prayer meeting because it's not yet dark when he goes there, but he's in an all-night prayer meeting. And we remember we went over this before, that when Jesus went into an all-night prayer meeting, when he came out of that prayer meeting, he was different.
Amen.
Just like us, when we go into prayer, when we come out, we ought to be different. Amen. Matthew 17, account of him on the Mount of Transfiguration, shows you what happened when you get a hold of God in prayer. Now, we know that Jesus didn't have to really pray to God for strength and for power because he was God. So Jesus prayed all night as a model to us of the joy and the pleasure it is just to speak to your Father.
Amen.
Prayer should be a joy and a privilege. You know, a lot of times you have to make people pray. You shouldn't have to make anybody pray because prayer is your one-on-one time with God. And some of you can't always, it's good, and I encourage you to come to the church prayer. Some of you that have not yet come to the church prayer. But it's something about getting along with God and praying all by yourself.
Amen.
So Jesus is in the mountain praying. Amen? And the scripture says, verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, let's look at John, the 6th chapter, verse 19, just to bring it out just a little different. All right? John 6:19. John 6:19 reads, so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. So John fills in more detail than Matthew and Mark has. That furlong means they had rowed out between 3 to 4 miles. Alright, they had rowed out between 3 to 4 miles. But it was, what time was it? It was what? Evening time. Are you with me? Now let's go to verse 17. Let's go back to verse 17. Verse 17 said, and they entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was dark. Right. So you gotta follow the sequence of the scripture. So it is now dark. Amen. And it says in the next verse, verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now the first watch in Jewish history is between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. That's watch number one. Watch number two is between 9 and 12. Watch number three is between 12 midnight and 3 in the morning. Watch number four is between 3 in the morning and 6 a.m. How many know it's still dark? It's still dark. Right? So I need you to follow this, keep up with this so you can follow the sequence. Alright? Now let's compare what Mark 6 says. Now, where is Jesus at right now while they're rowing? He's in the water. In the mountain. So that means he's a distance away. But they had already rowed. that he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. The Son is out. Be of good cheer, Be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. And he said, come. So I'm not reading this. Now he didn't say come, Peter. Everybody else was in the boat. That boat was a place of security. But if you're in the boat, you're afraid. When you see Peter going, he ain't afraid. You ought to step out too. So that boat represented security. And they almost just stayed in the boat, but still afraid. Was the wind still going? Yes, it had not changed. But the thing I know is the Lord said, come. He did not limit that to Peter. Just like when he called Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Regardless, he would have just said, come forth. Everything in the grave would have came walking out of the grave. So he didn't limit it to Peter. He said, come. Christ said, let up, you Lord, to Peter. And then Peter had made the step on that water. But the rest of the apostles stayed in the boat. He didn't say, come, Peter. He said, come. If I'm in a boat, I'm not afraid, and I see Jesus, I'm going to run to him. I'm going to run to him. Amen. I'm going to run to him, but I know the scripture that come unto me, oh, ye that labor and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you some. Yes. So when I'm all in trouble, when I got a whole lot of power, I'm going to start running to Jesus. I'm going to run to him. Because I'm going to be having church, and we've been in the boat too long. We've been in fear too long.
Now, when he tells them to lunge out of the deep, you need to get out of the boat.
You understand? He was still
in the boat.
So when they lost something to the deep, they didn't really believe they were going to receive a great catch. And when they received a great catch to the point that their nets were almost broke, Peter went to Jesus and fell at his feet. I'm a sinful man. So Jesus was aware he was still in the boat. So some of our promises, he said, I've been doing that for all these years, and I ain't got nothing. I haven't caught nothing. I haven't got no promises. I haven't got no deliverance. Because Jesus was not yet in the boat.
Yes.
Now get him in your situation.
Yes.
Get him in your boat.
Yes.
And then launch out into the deep.
Yes.
Amen. All right, let me just go ahead and finish this. He said to Peter, come. Alright? And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water with Jesus. All the laws of nature change. Because men don't walk on the water. But the difference was Jesus was walking on the water. So the song says, walk with me, Lord.
Alright.
Of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Amen. That's down. You like a wave. You just, everything that blows your way controls your situation. Everything the devil sends your way controls you. Every time you got a little nose in it, it controls you. Amen. Because you don't believe God. So that thing just talks you. That thing drives you. That thing controls you because of doubt. Amen. But if you ask in faith and doubt not, God will make a way. He said, what by the trying of your faith working patience? But that patience have a
perfect work.
Right? That you need the entire warranty of it. You got to let the moment of the storm was keeping in faith. Yes, the wind, the blowing all around you, but keeping in faith. Amen. Let's go to the next part. Verse 32. It says, and when they were coming to the ship, the wind. So everybody always talk about Peter walking to Jesus. But if he ain't walking to Jesus, how did he get in the boat? Right? So he stepped out. And he walked to Jesus. He began to sink. Some kind of way, they got from the water back to the boat. Because when Peter connected to Jesus, they both walked on the water. So if we were still born, he was connected, right? Connected. That's your message, right? Connected. He was connected. So everybody always talks about him walking out. But they forget he had to also walk back in. So he had to step out, but then he had to step in. Like, so we miss the miracles of what God is doing. We don't focus on the whole picture. So yes, he stepped out of the water. He walked to Jesus. The wind was on. All this is all around. Now the scripture didn't say the wind stopped until when they both got in the boat. When they both got in the boat, the wind ceased. Well, what changed Peter? Peter was connected to Jesus.
Amen.
So even though the storm was boisterous, even though the wind was blowing all around, Peter was worried about them. He said, well, I'm locked in with Jesus. I'm locked on with Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk. Listen, the wind and the sea represent his trouble. So he got hooked with Jesus. He got walked on my trouble.
Immediately
at the land. So we Alex, you know what I like about the story of the wall of Jericho? The way the wall fell down is everywhere except in one place. One place in all the fall. What was that place? Where we have the house has to go. This is what kind of God we serve. God is a case of sin. He had made Rahab the heart a promise. He said, if you stay in the house, everything in the house will be saved and delivered. So the Bible said, when they shouted, the wall was thrown into the city. That little Rahab the heart. Come on. And our house is still standing. Because God made her a promise.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We heard a good